The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
And welcome to this week's edition of ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This week on Review Party, we're going to forego the comedy. Me and Matt are kind of over it.
Sick of it. Sick in general.
Yes. Sick of comedy. Sick with the throats. What do you go to the doctor and they tell you got the throat gumbus?
You got the throat gumbus. Go see the ears, nose, and throat gumbus.
The gumbist. All right. That's a cool word. Cool enough to launch us into a review. We're ReviewParty.com. We read reviews, and then afterwards we talk about it. Hopefully it's funny. You know, stick around if you like it.
It's the intent, yeah. Let's try it again.
And we're all about artistic intent. And I'm also about, I think soda, creating soda flavors is definitely an art form.
Oh, boy.
Sort of the Mona Lisa of soda flavors is Mr. Pibb, of course.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
I got a review here for Pibb Extra Soda, 20 fluid ounce bottles, pack of 12.
Before you read that, I just want to say I had a fear that you were going to read some Jones Soda review.
Oh.
They're garbage. This is green apple flavor. This is blueberry. Like that doesn't look good.
I love Jones bubblegum flavored soda.
Oh, never tried, but.
It's a banger. It's a banger.
I do remember. A limited variety of candy corn flavored soda I had years and years ago. I poured a little bit on my hand and it turned yellow.
So, I was going to say, anyway. Yeah. You're going to pour a little out of your hand and it sizzled like acid.
Yeah, burned right through.
That's what candy corn does to me, so accurate. All right, I got a review here from Blake R. He titles it Best Soda on the Planet.
Oh, Blake.
Hey, what can I say? There are no complaints about this beverage. It is the best beverage on the planet. If there would ever have to be a complaint, it's that it's not sold in stores locally near me. It's a wonderful drink. I absolutely love it. Even though I'm trying to go on a tight diet, I still love it. Just gave one of them to my buddy who hasn't had one in 3 years, almost, because he didn't know that you could purchase them over here, because they're commonly stored and displayed on the other side of the country. So that was really awesome for him, and he really enjoyed it, just like I do. The soda's by far the greatest tasting soda for flavor that has ever been sold. And at one point in time, I truly showed how much I love this company by owning a mask, a t-shirt that I absolutely love. The mask they make that's not made by this company, it's not really a good quality mask, but the logo's on it, so it wouldn't matter to me. But I highly recommend buying the soda, especially from this company. They're selling the most amount of soda for the cheapest price per bottle out there. I do, of course, wish there was a way to have this bundled with Amazon, in order to make it qualify for free shipping for Prime members and or purchases over $25, but hopefully that day will come one day. But otherwise, the time comes I may purchase this again. I do try to ration it a little bit, so that way I can continue enjoying it non-stop. 5 stars.
Blake, the two concepts, rationing and enjoying non-stop, kind of in conflict, at least to my feeble mind.
Yeah, what an interesting juxtaposition of soda gluttony.
See, he's got an IV drip of Mr. Pibb.
I'm trying to cut back here, but I do know where on the planet it is the where you can get the cheapest per ounce Mr. Pibb, all right? You want to know the absolute cheapest place? I know, and I buy in bulk. No one's asking any questions, but I'm cutting back.
Mr. Pibb is good.
Mr. Pibb's fine. Tastes like diet soda to me.
A little bit. It's like a diet Dr. Pepper type flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to rain on Blake's parade, but you got to be able to find something just at your local grocery store.
An alternative.
An alternative, so you don't need to pay to ship a case of soda to yourself.
It's not Mr. Pibb. It's not the cola for him.
You're not even on a first name basis with Mr. Pibb. he doesn't respect you. At least the doctor makes house calls. Dr. Pepper is always there.
Dr. Pepper is everywhere. I was just at the grocery store, and they got like the liter soda bottles. That's usually what I go for. I feel like it's the best bang for your buck. That'll last you a day or two, right?
Yeah, a bit better.
They didn't have the nice big Dr. Pepper bottles, and I was so miffed. But I didn't turn around and go to Amazon and order a case of 20 as a reaction. As someone who draws his baths with Mr. Pibb, I need to find the absolute cheapest price I can, and that is on Amazon. You can't get this around me. Back in New York, I used to run it through the tap.
He's a lunatic. There's
you can't level with him at all. There's no brand you're loyal to. Like, this man's loyal to the Pibb.
I guess if we're talking about hard to get your hands on sodas, sure. There's a couple local varieties, a Green River or Dog and Suds root beer are dearly held to my heart, but I'm not going crazy ordering Dog and Suds root beer online. I can get it at Woodman's.
Sure.
And even if not, it's just root beer. He needs
a Midwest grocery store love. He needs to see himself at Woodman's.
Ugh, service and savings.
Yeah, service and savings. Whoosh, at Woodman's. I don't know why their little sound effect in there. Jingle is them punching somebody out. They're like punching out Walmart.
That's how good the deals are.
It's so good you just want to deck somebody, a child, anyone. Woodman's is basically a grocery store. They buy out Air Force hangars and convert them into giant grocery stores. Yeah, it's a wild place. They're huge and have a lot of stuff.
They do.
For very cheap. They are very cheap.
So cheap.
What do they say? And the owner does the funny little commercials. What does he say? We're better prices, better service, better people, better pizza, better ingredients, because we're employee owned. Something
I'm
like that.
Phil Woodman.
I'm Phil Woodman. I'm obviously insane. You know how insane Ellen is behind the scenes? She did a great job of covering that up.
Yeah, she disguised it.
And coming off as an absolutely lovely person. I don't think Phil's covering it up too good. He is high strung, dude. You can tell.
Well,
dude's losing it on screen.
I will take that unstable Midwestern business magnet over a certain pillow company founder.
That's true.
I'll take Crazy Phil Woodman any day.
Yeah, Crazy Phil Woodman, I mean, I think he's pretty high strung, but he probably kicks back on the weekends.
He's gotta get that law yogurt out the door.
Oh yeah. If you're unfamiliar with the Woodmans, you gotta Google Woodman's commercials. This guy goes on TV. The commercials for Woodman's are literally someone with like a camcorder from 1982, this dude Phil Woodman standing at one of his stores and just screaming at you about how awesome the prices are.
And
he's going off, dude. Huh.
He uses your dad's catchphrases like, holy gamoly, look at the prices. Ay caramba, paper towels for that cheap.
Ay caramba. He's like pulling it on the inside. Like you just picture him like pulling his own hair out. He's like seething because these prices are so insane. 10,000 toothpicks, $2.99. Oh my God. He just is exploding into a
It's the employees who are calling the shots, though. Phil has no say. He's just their dancing monkey boy.
They're employee-owned, so he is really owned by them.
The employees are just standing there with their arms crossed. Hey, Phil, make that Dan and yogurt 49 cents a pop.
Yeah, they're either taking notes on checkboards very vigorously, or like they have bats, billy clubs that they're hitting into their hand repeatedly.
Do the commercial, Phil. Ay, caramba.
He loves it. He built this around him.
Yeah, I love it too.
We love you, Phil. Shout out, Phil. I'd love to do some Woodman's ad read on the show. Maybe we can get sponsored by a old Midwestern friend.
Oh, that would be great. Speaking of which, I have a review here. I'm not exactly sure where it's from. It's from Instagram is where I saw it. And it's provided by none other than Midwestern Staple. Mostly just like Wisconsin-Illinois-based staple. Quick Trip.
Hey.
The favorite gas station of you Sconnies.
Is Quick Trip getting down into Illinois? We're taking over, getting some territory down there.
Maybe it's just that I've been exposed so much that I don't even register where the boundaries are. Anyway, I have a review here from Matthew Goldner of Stanley, Wisconsin. Matthew writes, "Took a wrong turn in Stevens Point and ended up here." And he's referring to a Quick Trip, obviously. "Took a wrong turn in Stevens Point and ended up here. Got gas for the van and hot sandwiches for the kids. Lots of cute Amish customers were there, too. I dated an Amish gal in high school. She broke up with me. I drove her buggy." 5 stars.
That's delightful.
He's got jokes.
When he said cute Amish people, I was thinking, like, It's a Small World after all, puppets cute, or like,
no,
like Drew Barrymore in the 90s cute.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore never been kissed. Yes.
Yeah, put Drew Barrymore in a little Amish outfit. I'm smitten.
Mm.
Especially at a Quick Trip. If Adam Sandler was from Wisconsin instead of New Jersey, this probably could have happened.
That's where Wedding Singer would have taken place.
Yeah, Wedding Singer would have been about him trying to get with a cute Amish girl he met at the Quick Trip. To be fair, a Wedding Singer as a profession, I feel like, is just as pathetic in Wisconsin as it is in New Jersey.
That's probably valid.
So it would work.
Anyway, that wasn't much of a real review. I just felt like it was very topical. So I'll read some actual reviews here. Some IMDb reviews for a movie called Pizza Man. And I'll pull up the actual description, because I don't want to misquote this. Pizza Man is a 2011 film. A pizza delivery boy receives superhuman strength upon ingesting a genetically altered tomato. He must battle a corporation that is trying to steal his powers in order to save both the world and the girl of his dreams. Pizza Man stars one Frankie Muniz.
No way. When was this made?
2011.
Oh, this is some dark times for Frankie.
It also shockingly has cameos from Rowdy Roddy Piper, Adam West, and Stan Lee. 2011, the Marvel movies were already hitting. What is Stan Lee doing getting himself in Pizza Man?
Right, I like the MCU was taking off in full force in 2011. I'm looking at this, but this is surreal.
It's awful.
Anyway, the lighting in the movie is so dramatic. What the fuck?
Yeah. I've got two contrasting reviews of this movie. First one comes to us from Pat Sabat 2, who titles their review, "Give Us More of the Same." And they write, "I do so enjoy a good, funny, and action-packed movie that I can view with my grandchildren without cringing from nastiness added to placate the parents or watching their little faces register fear from too much violence. Adding popular wrestling guys for this generation was pure genius. Myself, I grew up watching the main characters in different venues. Parenthetical, the good old days. No in-your-face sex, extreme violence, aliens, and nudity." And parentheticals. "And enjoyed watching them again."
Continue.
"They are still on the spot with their comedic timing, signature facial expressions, and probably answered a lot of viewers' questions about what are they doing now? Good job. Give us more of the same. We are definitely interested. 8 stars out of 10. Go ahead.
What is the beef she's got with aliens out of nowhere as well?
I'm pretty sure movies featured aliens back in the good old days.
There's been aliens in movies for a long time.
A long time.
I don't want to be go having to Google when the first alien movie was, but come on. Go on. Leave them out of this. Leave them out of this, would you?
Thank you. I'm glad that you caught the same thing. I mean, also, there's in-your-face sex in older movies. There's violence. There's nudity. But the aliens, back in my day, we didn't believe in aliens. Excuse me?
I'm looking at this Pizza Man poster, though. Frankie Muniz's costume looks like a cheap, like, Team Rocket, Pokemon Team God. Rocket cosplay.
It looks awful. There's a visible zipper up the front.
I think... when I see stuff like this that's possibly cringy, I always want to give it the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, you know, it had a lot of commentary. It was topical and satirical and just looked like this because it was so deep in the trench of the satire. But I don't know. I don't think so with this one. Who is Joe Eckert?
Is that the director or writer?
That's the director. Nothing good. But yeah, continue. Give me another one.
This review comes to us from Adil Sah, who titles their review, "Do Not Waste Your Time." And they write, "Actually, this is the first time I write a review here, but I couldn't let others be fooled." The movie talks about a pizza man who became a superhero in a comedy way. It seems to be good at first, but then you will figure out that it's silly, bad written, and just another poor commercial movie. It's an interesting thing to watch a movie talking about a comedy teenager superhero who tries to keep our world safer in stupid ways, but you have to keep your story strong and make sense. If you've watched Kick-Ass, you'll get the idea and see the big differences between the two movies. I gave 2 out of 10 for collecting the actors and buying good cameras. This movie ruined my day. 2 stars.
Man, the more I hear, the more I think. Pizza Man crawled. So Kick-Ass could run. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
This movie is laying the groundwork for what was to come. And it was probably just ahead of its time. And Frankie Muniz, he's supposed to be a teenager. He's got a teenager's body. He's got the face of a sad 38-year-old.
He's kind of a goblin face.
Yeah, and the hair plugs are the same.
That little faux hawk. Not doing him any favors.
Oh, Frankie, I'm sorry. He seems like a great dude. But was this the nail in the coffin here?
One of the other reviews is like, I'd like to watch things with Frankie Muniz because he seems like a nice guy who just got lucky. Seems like a regular person who kind of stumbled his way into this.
Yeah, I mean, he's great in Welcome to the Middle. Big Fat Liar. Let us not forget.
Oh, yeah.
What a comedy classic beside Amanda Bynes, who also went crazy.
Yeah, she went down the tubes.
Out of the tubes. What kind of tubes is this lady going down?
Bad ones.
Yeah, bad pizza man ones.
I can tell you, one of the recent credits on Frankie Muniz's IMDb is in the Harley Quinn TV series from 2019.
Oh, made a little cameo, a little guest spot in there.
A little cameo as Frankie Muniz.
As Frankie himself. There it is, Frankie voice. Things are looking up for Franklin.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
Well, he does serious like racing and stuff now, Formula One stuff or something, so...
Good for him.
I think he doesn't need, he doesn't need the movies. He's on his own stuff. Oh, this little picture in IMDb, looking good, Frankie. That bulbous head of yours has never looked better.
His little Jimmy Neutron head.
Oh. Again, we love you, Frankie. This is all. We admire you very much. But I can't help but steer us back. Away from Hollywood land, where Pizza Man's teenage comedy superheroes are saving the day. Back to the Amish country.
Okay.
One of the reviews I had here is from Amazon for Amish Country Popcorn Ballpark Butter Salt Popcorn Salt. Ooh. Old fashioned with recipe guide, even. You know what's better than the crappy Amazon clickbait reading is just reading the bottle. Pick a flavor original ballpark style popcorn salt.
That's smart. Yeah. Very smart.
That communicates what it is much better. It's just some flavoring for your popcorn tastes like butter. And it was one of those reviews where I read it and I was like, oh, well, this one's got to be on there. This is from ESP3 Lewis. They title their review, I Love My Amish Country Popcorn. They write, the little bottle it comes in sure is cute. Too bad they didn't make it with tiny holes in order to be able to shake the salt out. Instead, I find myself sticking a teaspoon in there and scooping out some to pour over my Just Pop popcorn. It's a bit of an annoying task, but the stuff still tastes great, so I can't knock it for that. It's the engineering behind the bottle design that is rather poor. Update. I feel silly now that I removed the pretty sticker on the top of the bottle, which I never knew was meant to be done, but now I found that it contains the necessary holes in order to be able to sprinkle the salt on my popcorn. Other than how easy it is to now pour on my popcorn, nothing changes because it still gives amazing flavor to my fresh popcorn. 5 stars.
Oh. That takes a big person, one, and someone who cares. You're not only admitting you're wrong, but like you're taking the time to come back and let everyone know. That's awesome. You already said you love it, and then you're going back to say you still love it. Also, I'm an idiot.
You know, he was big enough not to tarnish Amish Country Popcorn's good name.
You don't drag the Amish people through the dirt.
Yeah, especially not the ones making this delicious popcorn seasoning.
They are certainly hard at work crafting that plastic container with the sticker.
I'm sure they got a cute little drill for it, for the drill holes in the plastic.
Yeah, hand crank drill, yeah, absolutely.
How Amish people making the stickers to put on the bottles? You need a sticker printer for that, don't you? Unless they got just to get the paper and they got some kind of glue.
Yeah,
they're hand like stickering this bitch.
Old fashioned, they sort of Tom Sawyer with a big bucket full of paste.
You know, now that I think about that, I'd like to think it's a stamp style sticker. They gotta lick everyone.
Ooh, get a little Amish flavor.
Yeah, that's where the real flavor comes in.
I don't know. A lot of things are marketed as being Amish made. And like for furniture, it makes sense. You buy furniture from an Amish store, like, okay, this is solid lumber. This is good stuff. Excellent joinery. The finish is beautiful on it. It's going to last decades.
Sure, sure, sure.
There's those stupid little Amish fireplaces where it's like, this is an electric fireplace. The Amish people didn't make the electric part, but they made the frame, and then some capitalists put a fake little fireplace in it. And sure, okay, that makes sense. I don't know why popcorn salt being Amish would make me want it more.
Well, I have some wonderful flavor text that I think...
Oh, boy.
That is just perfect for that train of thought. About Amish Country popcorn. In 1965, the Amish Country community of Burney, Indiana, Roy Lehman planted a small plot of popcorn for his 6-year-old son, Brian. Brian then began supplying his family with popcorn. He remembers carrying popcorn to school, and a 6th grade teacher was one of his most loyal customers. When he finished high school, he wanted to stay on the family farm and continue to grow and sell popcorn. 50 years later, Brian is still in the popcorn business. The people who know Brian would tell you that he is known for the following 2 things. Serving the Lord and selling popcorn.
Oh boy.
And also, so there are 6 different types of flavoring they sell. And 6 different... I want to say strains of 6 different types of popcorn kernel.
Interesting. Okay.
They have the best popping method, shape, hulls, and texture for each one. There's Baby White, for example, which has a butterfly shape and is very tender. There's the Rainbow, which has a butterfly shape and has a blended texture. The Mushroom Popcorn comes out in 75% popped balls. Insane. The world of popcorn. Yeah. The Amish, what they lack in cell phones, they make up for in popcorn knowledge, dude.
Apparently.
There's no one in Silicon Valley that knows this much about popcorn.
Mushroom popcorn, man. It's what you need.
Yeah, I want to try that now. They got Ladyfinger popcorn.
What? That's a dessert. I don't even...
Best popping on stovetop, butterfly shape, hullless, and a very crunchy texture.
Okay. Well, you color me wrong. That story of Brian and his popcorn field made me a believer.
Feel very inspired, don't you?
I feel inspired in the Lord and in popcorn.
Yeah, I think we're going to go take a little break. Maybe shed some of this technology that's weighing our life down and find another way.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to Upon Further Review. It's making its return. That's why the laugh was appropriate.
Oh, when you come back to a place, you usually laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when I go to my McDonald's that I'm a regular at, I just walk in and start laughing. I'm like, put some chicken nuggets down.
He's here. Do you hear him? Hear that laugh?
Yeah, they get excited like Keebler elves.
Anyway, it's been a long time since we've featured an Upon Further Review segment.
It used to be all we did.
Used to be all we did, but we've evolved.
We evolved. I'm glad to be back. It'll always be one of my favorites, I think.
Mine too. Because it does involve a bit of research. It makes it a bit time consuming, but it also is elucidating and informational and fun. Are you familiar with the name Lonnie Johnson, Brent?
Lonnie? I want to say it does, but it does not. It's ringing a bell, but the sound is ever so faint.
Yeah, okay. This is kind of good. This is a throwback Upon Further Review in the style of the Slinky and the Post-it Note, because it features a NASA and Air Force engineer, Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie was a NASA and Air Force engineer, all these degrees, and just one of those smart guys who, invents stuff. I won't give you his whole life story, even though it is exceptionally interesting and it's worth looking into. But I'll start in 1982, when Lonnie, while working his day job, was working for NASA and stuff like that, like figuring out how to make the probes that are going to Venus work right. He also helped develop stealth bombers. No big deal. But in his off time, he liked to tinker with his own stuff. He was always a tinkerer from a very young age. And in 1982, he was working on refrigeration technology. He wanted to try and find something that used water instead of CFCs.
That hot stuff that goes tss.
Yeah, yeah. The chemicals that make refrigerators cold, but also are not good for the environment. And like I said, he's trying to use water. So he had some tubes and stuff set up in his bathroom attached to the kitchen sink. And he turned the sink on and out shot a jet of water. And he thought, whoa, you know what would be cool? Is a bitchin' squirt gun.
Okay. Is this... I'm getting excited because I love a squirt gun. And is this the name brand? Does this lead to the squirt gun?
Well, you'll find out. Over the next 7 years, he tinkered here and there. And finally, in 1989, he developed a mock-up out of PVC pipe and, not lying, a 2-liter pop bottle to serve as a water reservoir. And he brought this to toy company Laramie, which was, as he describes it, a sort of knockoff toy company who would look at other people's toys and then make cheaper versions of them.
Okay. Yep. The dollar store. It's a dollar store brand toy company. Yes.
And with Laramie as a partner, he introduced in 1990 the Power Drencher.
The Power Drencher. Not quite the, doesn't have the alliteration I was expecting.
Nope. Nope. 1 year later, in 1991, the name was changed to the Super Soaker.
There it is.
Marketing began, and in the matter of a year or two, 20 million were sold.
20 million?
They sold like gangbusters. These original models were like $10 a piece, and they got popular anytime something like this. Oh, it's a gun.
It was like the fidget spinner of that summer, the fad toy of a summer, or several, I'm sure, right?
Yes. It says that the mayor of Boston tried to introduce a voluntary sales ban on the toys, and he got a call from a reporter, this is him speaking, who in the most serious and grave voice told me, "We've got a report that Super Soakers are being used in drive-by shootings, and we were wondering if you had any comment." And he said, "Well, you know, I think we should have more of that." And he says, "In the back of my mind, I felt that my work on toy guns was probably less harmful than the work I did on real weapon systems." So, yes, this NASA and Air Force engineer just in his free time happened to develop
a super soaker.
Later, in 1994... he redeveloped, retooled his patents. The man has like over 100 patents. Into the 1994 patent actually is titled "Pneumatic Launcher for a Toy Projectile and the Like."
It's the pneumatic. It's the pump, right? This is where the pump comes in.
The pump was kind of already there.
The pump. Okay, so the original soaker had the pump.
And eventually he came up with the original one pumped air, and then he pumped water, and then there was the CPS, the continual pressure system, which was the big Bossa Nova.
Okay.
This specific patent is actually for a different type of child weapon.
Okay. We love child weapons here on ReviewParty.com.
Known to you and me and many alike, Nerf guns.
Oh! That didn't come out until 92, huh?
Nerf weapons, or Nerf as a company, existed for a long time, and there were different types of Nerf things. But the Nerf, as you and I and many people our age know it, you know, pull the thing, shoot the dart, that is based on his patents. And His influence was to take Nerf guns to a much higher performance level, shooting darts further, using rapid-fire technology, making Nerf more exciting than it was.
Yep. Man, yeah, because a Nerf gun comes out at a velocity that you can... That thing, those little suction cups on there stick to shit good.
They do. So since Nerf guns can be sold year-round, he made even more money from that. Took all that money, started a scientific research facility. They've been developing batteries and things like that. Crazy stuff. However, if you've looked online or at stores recently and seen like, what are these sucky super soakers? Which, by the way, now exist under the Nerf brand. They're all like the pump squirt, pump squirt, pump squirt. You know what I mean?
Oh, the one pump, the one... Oh, where the pump itself does the squirt.
Yes.
We don't let... No, that sucks. You can't...
That sucks.
Super Soaker, you're all about pumping as much as you can until you're just like... you think you're going to break the gun
until from you hear it,
that
yeah.
last pump. Yeah.
That's how you know danger is around.
You want the Super Soaker to squirt so hard it can cut metal, like those big machines.
Exactly. And that was his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, he sued Hasbro in 2013 for unpaid royalties because they were developing guns that at least looked like they were based off of his patents. Sure. And they weren't paying him royalties. And he's like, hey, that looks like my stuff. That looks like my stuff. I haven't been getting paid for any of that stuff. So eventually they paid him. But the theory is that they stopped making guns based off of his patents because they don't want to pay him anymore.
Right. So there used to be all companies could just have the pumping Super Soaker style stuff. But now it's back to the dark ages of squirt guns,
yeah,
unless you get that name brand shit.
And I think Hasbro did re-release a couple years ago, like the OG from his first models, a re-release. Uh-huh. Like, hey, it's been 20 years since the first Super Soaker. Here it is again. But nah, you need that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
The powerful ones.
My favorite one I ever had. It was, man, Super Soaker is just, I feel like every summer they had a new wacky ass gimmick on their guns.
Yes.
Like, this one can shoot 2 miles. This one
is a minigun. It has the pressure gauge on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the little pressure gauges. This one will bore a hole in your little brother. Like, there's always cool little, this one has a sniper sight. But the one I had, the gimmick was, it had it ended in 3 barrels, right? It had 3 nozzles that it shot out of. And if you pulled this extra trigger on the side, the nozzles would splay out. So it would shoot in 3 directions. So you could shoot forward, to the left, and the right.
Just in case you're getting flanked from both sides.
Right. The commercial, obviously, everyone stood in the, like, creeping, he got up, ambushed, but they're all standing in the perfect place to get blasted by him at the same time. And then after getting the toy, you realize, oh, man, no one is ever standing still in the, the right spot
for that.
Yeah, but it still shot 3 huge Super Soaker water lasers out the front, which really was cool enough to have that tri shot, the trident coming out.
Yeah. Just wreck somebody's face.
Absolutely. It was a big one too. I remember the tank was like huge on it.
You got the strap on it too?
Oh yeah, with
That's
the
how
strap.
You knew.
Yeah, this is a hefty one.
So, yeah.
Just some aircraft NASA engineer who invents stuff as a hobby. Just like, instead of playing video games, this guy just makes multi-million dollar product ideas.
And makes our childhoods better.
That's true. My childhood without Super Soaker. Man, I remember, speaking of Nerf, my cousins had some of the OG ones where the darts, it wasn't like a suction cup at the end. It was just the big, stupid, like mini pool noodle style one with the fins on the back. Uh-huh. I love those ones. I don't know why. They're just like big and goofy.
I mean, it's fun to see the history of that stuff.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The arrow bow and arrow launcher. Yeah.
The crossbow looking ones. The flimsiest toys on the planet.
Yes.
Well, as long as we're speaking about childhood, I got us a review here, bud.
Oh, boy.
It is a review from Amazon for Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection.
Ooh.
Sega Greatest Hits for the PlayStation 3. This review was written by Oasis J. They title it, "Damn, this was one of the best purchases I have made in years." Where to start? So many good games. Shining Force, Golden Axe, Sonic Spinball. Too many to count. So many hours in the day. I fret I shall never play all of them, but I will play the hell out of the ones that I can play. Way worth investing some time and money to order this collection. 20 out of 10. Would buy a second disc just to give to friends. 5 stars.
Wow. Sonic Spinball is a heck of a pinball game.
Sonic, I look to my left. There is my Sega Genesis with Sonic Spinball next to it. Sonic Spinball is a banger. Best pinball game ever made.
Probably. Some of the Kirby pinball games are pretty sweet, but Sonic Spinball is so alive.
It's so alive. There's multiple tier levels. It's an adventure game and a pinball game.
Yes. It's intense.
Actually, now that I think about Pokemon Pinball, those are both amazing 5 out of 5 games for sure.
But wow.
Well, wow. This guy loves Sega. This guy loves Sega, but he sucks at Sega. He says there's not enough time in a lifetime to beat all these Sega games.
Old games usually aren't that long.
Yeah, how long does it take to beat Golden Axe? That game's probably like 45 minutes long. Maybe a couple hours if you don't know what you're doing.
In-depth old games are not that long.
It does have Shining Force, but that game's old RPG like that, 20 hours tops, 30 if it's very, very long.
And do you want to take your time like grinding or whatever?
Yeah, right. It's really up to you, but I'm confident that there's many people out there that have beaten all these games.
In a weekend.
In a weekend. I don't know about
that. Maybe. I don't know.
Echo the Dolphin, that one will throw you for a loop.
I never played no Echo.
You ain't never played Echo the Dolphin? That seems like your type of game, just because it's kind of different. You play a little dolphin, and there's these aliens that come and steal all the sea creatures, and you got to save your friends back. Okay. But it's really a game about, like, momentum. Like, you gotta do sweet jumps outside of the water to land into coves across there, or jump through the rings to get the power-ups. You shoot little echolocation stuff at the bad guy. Echo's cool. Don't sleep on Echo, kids.
You heard it here.
Just because it's a dolphin doesn't mean it don't shoot lasers. All right? That's kind of the moral of the story.
That's the Nerf gun I want. The dolphin shooter.
That would be a great Super Surfer design.
Yeah, even better. What am I thinking?
That's the noise it makes when it pumps. I think, you meet other dolphins. It's kind of like Yoshi's Story, but with environmentalist slant.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of this box rules. Play the originals that started it all, now in HD. And it has like a screenshot of Golden Axe, and it just looks like shit.
Yeah, there's not much you can do to like upscale games that are that old.
Yeah, usually games, like especially Sega games, I'm like, oh man, the color really pops. But it's not like the color didn't pop back then.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly which system I was reading about, but for some of those old systems, the game developers were taking into account the limitations of the TVs available at the time, where colors would bleed together on the TVs. So even though it was only 8-bit, they would say, okay, if we put these pixels next to each other, they'll bleed into each other. We've got more colors we can work with.
Yep.
Then when you plug it into a new TV, it's like, oh, this just looks like cut-out garbage.
Yeah, that's why I really, really want to get my hands on an old CRT TV to play my Sega and even my PS2 on, because that's just how they just look the best on there.
Yeah, sorry to nerd out on everybody.
Hey, they love it. Let me make a joke about Streets of Rage 2 here. There's a screenshot of Streets of Rage 2, one of my favorite probably the best beat-em-up game of all time, maybe. But in the screenshot, there is one guy beating up three dudes. Makes a lot of sense for a little beat-em-up game about the streets that are raging. Two chickens also in the screenshot. Two chickens just on the ground. Chicken dinners ready to be eaten. Ready for your health. Get up. Nothing suits me better after whipping 10 guys' asses than just a whole roasted chicken. In the alleyway, no less. Just on a plate. Yeah, on the sidewalk. You got a review?
Yeah, I got one. We can whip right through. This is a review from Target.com for Olay Cleanse Makeup Remover Wipes Rosewater 25 count. And user Smithy titles their review, "Might as well dip into your vase." Smithy writes, Oh, gee, where to start? First, they don't do a good job removing makeup. I always had to use two, and forget about removing eye makeup. Just leaves me with panda eyes. Second, my face felt really tight after using these, and I don't have sensitive skin at all. So that tells me something. All that said, the absolute worst thing about these is the smell. When they say rose water, that's exactly what they mean. It literally smells like you dipped a tissue into a vase holding roses. You can clearly smell stalk, leaves, and fallen rose petals. Actual fallen rose petals. That stuff doesn't smell good, and the smell lingers for a long time. I tried to push through just to use up the pack, but I just can't do it. Back on the hunt for a makeup wipe that fits me. 1 star.
See, you, the fun thing about this review is you sort of you had me at these makeup removing wipes do not remove makeup. Call it a 1 star review there, right?
Yeah,
but no, let's drag this product through the dirt a little bit more, through the muddy water. Let me tell you about this piece of shit product, Olay. What are you trying to, what are you in a bullfighting match, Olay? I'm trying to remove makeup here, not hold a red cloth in front of a bowl and do a little dance, Olay.
Not trying to smell like a funeral procession either.
Yeah, it's not trying to smell like a flower that farted and died in some water.
I'm not a huge fan of rose-scented things anyway. I can't imagine treating my face with this.
But, I mean, if it literally was just water from roses, that is supposed to be good for you, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Overpriced, I'm sure, but if that's literally what it is, I don't feel like she was lied to, is what... You know, kind of where I'm on the fence about it.
It just didn't work for her.
Just, yeah. I mean, who doesn't see a pool of rose petals and doesn't want to take a little dip?
A little sploosh.
A little sploosh. That's,
I'm so fancy.
I see a bunch of petals just laying out on a beautiful pool. I want to cannonball that son of a bitch so bad.
I mean, Hollywood types would never do that. You would be so... So provocative. Edgar, look at him. He jumped into the pool.
Yeah, that's why this podcast makes it huge. We already made it big, but when it makes it huge and we get to hang out at those Hollywood parties, the podcast is going to be even better. We're going to have a lot of good stories about pissing off Scarlett Johansson.
All you have to do is not pay her.
Yeah, don't pay her the money you deserve. Lady gets pissed off. It's unbelievable.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Speaking of money, let's plug it out.
Let's do.
Let's plug up this rose turd water. Right. Hey, thanks, listener. This is ReviewParty.com that you just listened to, in case you weren't aware. We have new episodes every Tuesday morning. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it'll be sitting there waiting for you, crispy, fresh. There's a little bit of steam on the inside of the plastic container.
Ooh, it's so hot. Tasty.
Oh, it's a little hot. Be careful. When you open it up, a puff of hot rose breath will moisturize your skin. And then the comedy will cleanse your pores.
Oh, wow.
And a small baby Mario in your back seat will do some color commentary. If you'd like to send us a review to make some funny over from the internet, why don't you send a hyperlink to the review to our email, reviewparty.com.com@gmail.com. Include your name or a moniker. We can throw you credit. You could also send that funny review a screenshot of or something. On social media, you know, we do it easy. We're going to you, all right? We're not making you come to us. We're going where you are, people
we're
out
there.
The outside. Matt, why don't you tell us about that media socials?
If you're a media social user, you can find these social media users on Instagram and TikTok at ReviewParty.com and on Twitter at ReviewPartyPod. If you'd like, you know, less interaction than that, you can just go to ReviewParty.com.
Where, yeah, if you don't want your media not so social.
It's just not, there's no socializing there. It's just you looking at all the episodes, reading the blog where we write about reviews every week. And you can check out the shop and sign up for the After Party Review newsletter just to keep you in the loop.
We can do it.
It's in the contract.
I got a little mission for you this week. Why don't you tell one of your friends about this podcast? Everyone has a friend that likes funny podcasts, even if you don't know who they are. Find out who they are and recommend them this one. And then boom, every week you got something to talk about with your friend. And then you're happy, and then I'm happy.
Like Goku needed everyone in the world to pray and give his energy to them. Uh-huh. You and your podcast-loving friend can send me your energy so I can have a better-sounding voice next time we record.
Yeah, please. T's and P's for Matt.
This is on the good end of this cold. Certified COVID-free cold.
Certified COVID-free. Matt went to the doctor, got a sticker on him. Got a fucking branded in his ass.
I marched out of there with
this podcast.
Snot dripping from my nose.
Marched out of there feeling worse than what I went in, but hey, it wasn't COVID, so we live in. Literally.
Yes.
Speaking of discharge from noses, hey, what if it was blood? Then it might be a really cool band that we like to listen to. That's right, Nosebleeds. Thank you guys for letting us use their jam, Bread for Breakfast, throughout every episode. You're hearing it. It's a great tune, obviously. You can go to Spotify and search for Nosebleeds and hear some more great tunes. I got a little funny little review to see us off here.
Let's hit it.
Funny that you say that, because this is a review from Amazon for The Gong Shop, 7-inch chow gong. Chinese chow gong includes mallet and hanging string.
Nice.
Hand-hammered bronze Chinese gong. So this is just a small little mini percussion gong. The review is written by Adrian Crutch. They title it Great Gong. They write, The Gong Shop has a pretty good selection of high-quality gongs. 5 stars.
If you're shopping here, you can't go gong.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's the stop.